John chapter 17 contains the greatest prayer by the most wonderful person who ever lived. Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries, presenting the following Bible teaching session entitled Christ's High Priestly Prayer.
Jesus taught his disciples in the upper room discourse, and he taught about going away, coming again. He taught about the Holy Spirit. He taught about the time that he would rise from the dead. He would be crucified, but he would rise again, and they would have joy in their heart. And he taught them, as we have it through John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And then in John chapter 17, we have one of the greatest prayers that has ever been prayed by the greatest person. Jesus' high priestly prayer. Jesus Christ's prayer details his desire for his followers. We think about the Lord's prayer being, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That is the Lord's prayer that he gave to the disciples. But the Lord's prayer is really his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. And he prayed for several things. He prayed about himself. He prayed about his disciples. And he prayed about us, all of us who would believe on him through their word. Jesus prayed for you. It's a good thing to know that Christ prayed for you. If you ever feel like nobody prays for you and nobody cares, you have a high priest that prays for you always. A living heavenly high priest who is there at the Father's right hand. He always prays for you. John 17, 22. "The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one." This glory will make us one. What will bring the church together as one? The glory of God, power of God, the Spirit of God. You can have a little friction. You can have things that are going a little bit wrong in the camp. But let the Lord start blessing and the Holy Spirit start moving, and it will draw us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You cannot stay apart. You cannot stay at odds with your brother and the Holy Spirit. You've been born again. You have the Holy Spirit in your life, and he will draw you to that place. You will come together as one. Jesus said, "The glory you've given me, I have given them." Now God said in the Old Testament, "I'll give my glory to no one." So how can we have the glory of God? God won't reach down and give his glory to a man. But he'll give his glory to all of us through Jesus Christ. We can have that glory of God. "The glory that you've given me, I have given to them," and that makes us all one together. Jesus prayed about being glorified. "Father, glorify thy Son." These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come." Now he's through teaching. He's through giving the instructions. John 16, "These things they'll do to you because they do not know the Father or me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. If I had not done among them the miracles that no other man did, they could get by a little bit maybe, but now they have no excuse. They have no cloak for their sin." And he teaches all about that. "The time will come. You have sorrow in your heart now. It's like a woman in travail with a child. But when she's delivered, she does not remember the anguish anymore for joy that a child is born into the world." When you're going through labor, you say, "I'll never do it again. My glory be. Next year or two, it happens again. Somehow or another. I don't know how, but it sure does." But that's the way Jesus said it is. You have sorrow right now, but I'll see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man will take from you. So he's given those instructions. Now when he gets through, he lifts up his eyes to heaven. You notice when Jesus prayed, he didn't bow his head like we do. He lifts his eyes up to heaven. Why? Because that's where his Father is. He lifts his eyes up to heaven. Isn't it wonderful that we have a Heavenly Father that we can pray to?
Yes.
We don't have to pray to no dumb idol. We don't have to pray to no graven image. We have a God, a living, thrilling, pulsating God in heaven that we can talk to. We have the same Heavenly Father we can talk to that Jesus did. He said, Father, the hour has come. This is it, Lord. This is what it's been all leading up to. This is eternity past. This is what you provided, salvation, healing for the whole world. This is it. Now I've been born. Now I've come, and now I have lived, and now getting right here to this time when I'm to be crucified. This is the hour. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Giving glory to God. Jesus always brought glory to the Father. And he said, Father, even in this hour, what I'm about to go through, I want to give you glory. And we decide in our hearts, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what it holds, but I know whatever it is, I want to give glory to God. I want to glorify my Father who is in heaven. That's what Jesus desired to do. He said, I want to glorify you as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus had been given, he's God the Son, and he had been given authority and power over all flesh. The one that we serve today, Jesus Christ, he has all authority in heaven and in earth. And he has been given authority over all flesh, and that's why he can give eternal life to as many as come to him, as many as God gives him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That, in a nutshell, brothers and sisters, is the gospel of salvation. What is the gospel of salvation? That a person can have eternal life by believing on Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. That's what it is right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. There's no other God but him. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I've done everything that God told me to do, and now there's nothing else to do but to suffer and to die on the cross. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And he prayed, I want that glory. He knew what it was to have that glory long before any of us were ever born, long before the world was ever created. He shared in that glory with the Father. And now he says, glorify me with your own self, with that same glory that I had with you before the world was. He prayed about himself, and he prayed about his disciples. He prayed that God would keep them from evil. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Jesus, in essence, was saying to the Father, Father, these men were yours. You could have done anything you wanted to with them, but you gave them to me. Thine they were, and thou hast given them to me. He said, I've manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. One of the greatest things about being born again is to have the name of Christ manifested to us. God has manifested himself to us. And this is the reason that he came and was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, that he might make himself real to us. There are so many wonderful benefits of knowing God and being born again, to have this Savior manifested to us. And he said, I've manifested your name to those you've given me out of the world. They were yours, and you've given them to me, and I have kept them. They have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They know what it's all about. I have declared to them. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. No more mystery, no more guessing, think so, maybe so, hope so. They know for sure. All the doubt is gone. And that was a big thing back then, because is he really the one? or is he trying to bluff us off? What if we cash in with him? And I've heard that about pastoral searching. What if we say yes for one, that's not really the one? You got to trust God to do what's right. God will lead us in the way that we should go. What if we vote for the Messiah and he's not really the one? They knew he was the one. He's the only one. They believe that you've sent me. I've given them your word, and they have kept your word. I pray for them. That's good to know. Jesus prays for you. He prayed for those men. They had a big job to do. He told them to go out and do all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. They couldn't do it by themselves right there alone. They did what they could. Now they came along later, and the big revival preachers, they did what they could. They didn't have too much money, and now they have passed away, and here comes you and I. We got a little more money than they had. Maybe don't have the powerhouse where we ought to be where they did, but God is still able to bless us. And we can take what we have and we can reach this generation for Jesus Christ. And he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I'm not praying for the sinners of the world right now. I'm praying for these men that you've given me. I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I realize, Father, that everything belongs to you. It's all in your hands. You've given it to me, and now I'm praying for these men. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. He said, I'm fixing to leave the world, as we say in Vance County, I'm fitting to leave the world. I'm coming to you, Father, but these men will be left in the world, and I pray for them. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Keep through your own name. Now, I use the expression that some of you are old enough to remember. God not only has saving power, but he has keeping power. God will save you, and he will keep you saved. Keep through your own name those whom you have given me out of the world, so they could be one like we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Of course, we know it's talking about Judas. He had made his choice, and he was lost. But the others were not lost. Jesus had kept them in the Father's name. He had kept them in the Word of God. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Things get hard, things get bad, they'll remember my words, and they'll have the joy. You think you're going to lose your way. You think you're going to be covered up. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to move, and you have that joy. It comes and reassures you that everything's going to be all right. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They're identified with Christ now, and the world hates them. And if you identify with Jesus Christ like you really ought to, and like I really ought to, the world will hate us. We cannot sell ourselves out hoping the world will like us. We'll still be everything A-okay, all right with God. It's not going to happen. We got to make a choice of whether we want God to like us or whether we want the world to like us. Now, I know God always loves us, but we got to make a choice whether we're going to be right with God or whether we're going to cash in for the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one and the evil. He didn't ask God to take them out of the world, but he asked the Lord to take care of them and protect them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And this is a big thing for the doctrine of sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And Jesus didn't need to be sanctified. but he sanctified himself, showing the importance that you and I certainly need to be sanctified. We need to be sanctified initially, and we need to continue to be being sanctified. Sometimes we forget about the continued sanctification. We not only believe in initial sanctification, Christ's sanctification, but we believe in progressive sanctification. You're to grow in sanctification. Not ho and woe in it, but grow in it. We're to grow in our sanctification. And if it's been a long time since we've been in the pool of sanctification, if you will, we might need to revisit that and let God wash us some more and make sure that dirt still stays down there on that old man. Because even though that old man is dead and crucified, if we're not careful, he'll try to come back alive. He'll try to come back up. And we don't want that to happen because that nature's been dealt with. But it's not just, we think about once saved, always saved. We don't believe in once saved, always saved, but neither do we believe in once sanctified, automatically always sanctified either. You've got to continue with the Lord. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God will continue to sanctify us. I sanctify myself, Jesus said, in order that they might be sanctified. Those disciples were going to be in an ugly, evil world around them, and they needed the sanctifying power of God. And if they need it, you and I need it today, in the day in which we live, in this world that we live in, all the contamination around us. You know what is our hope and what is our rest? That same sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. They all may be one. He prayed for that. Neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just talking about the 11 disciples. It was 11 at that time. Judas had went out and hung himself. Don't interpret the Bible that says Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do thou likewise. Don't do that. All right? I pray for not just these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, and that includes every one of us. Jesus prayed for you, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, wrapped up and tied up and tangled all up together in Jesus, just one in us. The Father's in me, I'm in the Father, they're in me, I'm in them. We're one together with God. No other God can be like that. There's no dead God. There's no idol God certainly can do that. That can come and live in you. It's the only living, one living true God that can do that. The Father in heaven sent Jesus to the world. Jesus dies on the cross, resurrects, day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, a person gets born again, the Spirit of God comes into their life, and we're one with the Father and the Son. Glory be unto God, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. They might not receive it, but they better believe it, because that's the only hope they have. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. There is a gospel message that's still being sent out to the world today, and it still has the power to save, still has the power to sanctify, still has the power to change lives, still has the power to heal, still has the power to bless. That same gospel message, salvation, Jesus, justification by faith in Christ alone, and the love of God. He puts love in your heart that you can love people. Father, I will. Now in the Garden of Gethsemane, we looked at recently, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And now he's saying, Father, I will. This is the only thing that I want. I want something. I want my will in this. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Jesus wants you to be in heaven with him one day. Yes. You ever thought, why does he really want me up there, or does he really want me up there? Yes, he does. He says right here, I will. This is what I want. I want for those who have believed on me to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The same glory of God. The love of God that God the Father had in His Son and the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. This is what I want my people to see. I want them to experience that eternal glory. I want them to experience heaven. I want them to be with me where I am. No more parting, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more heartache, no more heartbreak. I want them to be with me that they may behold my glory. And while the ages roll, the song said, I'll keep on praising Him. And we will experience that glory of God throughout the ages of eternity. We will keep on being unveiled, the Christ, the glory of God. We'll never get through it all. When you've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That love, that glory that you gave me and you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it. Lord, until I die on this cross, until my dying breath, I am going to declare to them your name. And he did. Jesus did absolutely to his last breath. He declared the glory of God. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. How is Jesus in us? Through the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. Thank God for his love. Thank God for this high priestly prayer. The great high priest prayed for you. He prayed for your children. He prayed for your grandchildren. He prayed for those who love him. He prayed for those who will never acknowledge him. He prayed for the whole world. He prayed about himself. He prayed about the disciples. And he prayed for those who would believe on him through their word. Father, we thank you for such a wonderful chapter. John chapter 17. We bless you, Lord, for that high priestly prayer. We thank you that we have a high priest that is over the house of God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts today with this word. Help us to never feel alone, even if we don't have our husband, even if we don't have our wife anymore, even if we don't have our children anymore. We have someone that's with us all the time. We're never alone because you're there with us. You said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you have my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And if you love me, I will love him. My Father will love him. We will come to him. I will manifest myself to him. We will come and make our abode with him. Father, you and me, I and you, they and the Father, I and them, we're all one together. We thank you for that glory. We thank you for that oneness. We thank you for that love. And may many people experience that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Bible teaching session from John chapter 17. The title has been Christ's High Priestly Prayer. Jesus Christ prayed for you then, and he prays for you at the Father's right hand in heaven today, right now. Have you received him as your Savior yet? Have you made him your Lord? If not, do so now, today, while you still have time. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.